say so myself. Tonight's topic is fantastic. It's mamish. Everything is a wow. Paragraph after paragraph. I hope to blow your minds away on what seems to be such a simple topic, exercise in halacha. It's unbelievable.
Is the question coming, is it Peter or are you Chayef? Or both questions?
There's that too.
Just
wondering which way is going to go.
There's that. This is really amazing. There's stuff tonight. Some fascinating. You're going to blow your mind. Rav Kook, Chofetz Chaim, some Rav Sonnenfeld, Baal Peh. We have Chazal, Tanakh, history. It's really exciting stuff. The more I got into it, the more I got into it. Mamash.
Exercise in general.
So, this evening's pieces presentation is based on two main papers. Both written by Torah Jews, and that's very significant that I say this now, because as we pass through the paragraphs, you'll say, wow, where do you get this stuff? The two primary sources is a paper called Exercise in Halacha by Dr. Fred Rosner.
He's written for the Journal of Contemporary Halacha.
Yeah, he's written all over the place. Oh, he has his own books. He's written,
Medical ethics.
Yeah, very big into medical ethics. And the other source, primary source, is a paper called Physical Exercise in Rabbinical Literature by Dr. Aharon Arand, who lives on Nachal Timna. He's Professor Bar Ilan. You know Dr. Arand? He lives on Timna. I went to see him about this, actually, because he has some really, wow stuff. I actually met with him about this. I got his paper, and some of the excerpts are from there as well. So without further ado, before we get to the sheet, I actually have, as usual, an oral component of stuff that just you couldn't excerpt them, I couldn't paste them, whatever it might be. But exercise, we'll start with Sefer Bereishis, we'll start with Tanakh. Yaakov Vinu is Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. It's not on the, we're not on the sheet now for a few minutes.
Which is the first side of the sheet?
The first side of the sheet is with the Gemaras, Ein Ashchina. Top is Ein Ashchina. That's the first side. Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. So we know Yaakov Vinu was the model of a Ben Torah. He was Ish Ohalim, which means Beis HaMedrash. He would sit and learn. But people seem to ignore or forget there's another side of Yaakov Vinu as well. He's the one that fought with the angel and beat him up and won, right? I mean, struggled with the angel. In the end, he was victorious because the angel had to beg to leave. But more interesting than even that is Yaakov Vinu goes and he wants to take the stone off the well to feed the flock, right? Very famous. So the Mefarshim explained that Yaakov Vinu wasn't just trying to be a nice guy and give the sheep what to drink. Rashi explains, it's an apostle in Malachim, in Sefer Malachim. Rashi says over there that moving rocks off the tops of wells in those days was a sign and demonstration and measurement of a person's strength. So Yaakov Avinu went to that well to move the rock, again, not just to be a nice guy and feed the sheep, but to show them who's boss. Again, Rashi says in that day, that generation, that era, that's the well. The stone on the well was the measuring, the stick to see who had strength and who didn't. That was the sports, that was a competition. It was getting the stone off the top of the well. Okay, it's a Rashi Malachim, it's in Malachim, I don't have the note here in my notes, but it's there and very interesting stuff. Okay, so Yaakov Vinu was showing them who's boss. I'm strong, look, I'm moving the stone off the well as if it was a pack of feathers. There's a lot of stuff also which I don't have in Sefer Koheles in the fifth chapter. It says over there, the sleep of the laboring man is sweet. And it's explained over there that he should have a hard day at work. He'll sleep better at night. It's good for the body. Another, the Mishlei, Tiferes Bachurim Kocham. Mishlei, Shlomo Melech, Tiferes Bachurim Kocham. The glory of the youth, of the young, Kocham is their strength. Army, right? Bnei Yisrael were soldiers throughout the biblical times. 20 years old, you went to the army, in most cases. What was army training? So, among army training was climbing walls, and these are all Rashi's and Chazal's to back this up, archery, extensive archery, and part of the archery training for every soldier in the Jewish army, he had to be able to shoot the arrows with exact precision with both hands, the right and the left. He had to be able to do archery with both hands, the right and the left. Okay? So again, if we're a nation of soldiers, by the way, there's an interesting, somebody just told me this, an old friend of mine learning at Rav Tzvi Kaplan, Yerushalayim, came over for Shabbos. So we're going through the notes for this year. So in the olden days, the outside, what you saw on the outside represented the inside. In our day and age, Chazal Hashem reversed it. What do I mean? In the olden days, a beautiful woman on the outside meant she was beautiful on the inside as well. Today we know that's not true. So too, on the outside, if you had a Talmud Chacham, it means he was strong on the inside. He was able, he was Yaakovinu, he could throw the rocks off the wells. Right? Today you look at Rav Eliyashiv, he's not headed to the army. Right? Today the Talmudei Chachamim look weak and are weak. So he didn't know the source of this, but he heard this fort, that at one point Hashem changed it all around. But it used to be the Talmudei Chachamim were the strong ones. The more you...
Huh? Who was that from?
A bacher from Yerushalayim told me the fort as we're going through the notes. But it makes a lot of sense. On your sheet, you have Eina Shechina Shara El Al Chacham Gibor V'Asher Bal Koma. Okay? You want Hashem to be in your life, you want Hashem to rest upon you, you have to be wise. Gibor Asher, of course, this is the qualification for prophecy, actually. The proper context is a Navi. So in order to be a Navi, you have to have wisdom, might, wealth, and you have to be strong. This is the recipe. The Shekhinah will not rest upon a Navi who's not strong, who's not wealthy. Even the Dayanim, Moshe Rabbeinu, have to choose judges. Even Adiyam Azeh, to a certain extent, the judges have to be rich. Had to be rich because they had to be immune to bribery. Okay? Yehuda ben Tema Oimer, Havyaz Kanemer, Vakal Kanesher, Rat Kutvi, Vigibur Kari, very famous, that opens Shulchan Aruch, Berki Avos, Asois, Ritzon Avicha Shabashamayim. The Mephorjim say this is literal. This isn't a nice, poetic type of, yeah, serve God with strength. No! It means get your sukkah out, lift the boards, be able to pick up your sukkah, you know, do it. There's a lot of mitzvahs that take strength, physical strength. The sukkah is just one of them. You've got to be able, it's a literal, we think it's very, you know, poetic. Oh yeah, be swift. Ratzkatzvi. No, it means literally, you have to be strong, and you have to run, and you have to be light, and you have to be all these things when you're doing mitzvos. Okay? Why do you think Chazal, you're allowed to run on Shabbos, we're going to get to more on Shabbos soon, but you're allowed to run on Shabbos first of all. What should be told? We have to run a Shabbos mitzvah. Because the whole week you should be running for a mitzvah. But we should be running to shul every day, etc., etc., etc. This Yeshua, Yehuda ben Tema, is a literal recipe. You have to be strong, etc., etc. Okay? Here's a very good regiment from Chazal. We have a Gemara Ksuvus Kuf Yud Aleph, the third little paragraph. Yisahir b'shosh dvarim. Be careful of three things, Chazal teach us. Al tarbe b'yeshiva. Don't sit too much. She yeshiva kash l'tachtonios. Sitting is problem in your it's hemorrhoids. As the translation is sitting too much could bring bed sores. Okay, we'll call it bed sores, sitting sores.
Is anti-computer jobs?
Very good. Exactly. I mean, you're going to see the Chavetz Chaim, you're going to blow your mind away. But yes, it would apply for Torah and, of course, for other things as well. Val tarbe b'amida. Don't stand too much. Shamida kasha lelev, the heart gets worn out. Too much standing is too hard on the heart. Ve'al tarbe ba'alicha, don't walk too much. Alicha kasha lenayim. We know it's a famous thing that if you walk too much, especially if you take long strides, it's bad for your eyesight. I don't know if there's a scientific connection to this, but they say the remedy for this, by the way, is to look at the Kiddush wine. Friday night, you look at the Kiddush wine when you're making Kiddush, and restores your eyesight that you might have lost by taking wide strides during the week. Fine. Ela, will Chazal say about all this? Shlish be yeshiva. Shlish be amida. Shlish be hiluch. You need the third, and third. You need to walk a little bit. You need to stand a little bit. And you have to sit a little bit.
Is sleeping part of this formula?
Is sleeping part of this formula? It's probably your waking hours.
Big Nafamina, if you count it's waking hours. It's Big Nafamina, if it's waking hours or 24 hours.
What's Nafamina that it's 24 hours?
It's 24
just can't
hours.
Be. It just can't be. Because I can't be telling you to do this.
What?
It just can't be a
24 hours. Hours that you're sleeping, you're sitting while you're sitting, and the rest of the time that you're awake.
Then you spend, right, and then it must be you got to be up and at. Right, so you're saying it's waking hours.
That's to me. I mean, I didn't put any thought into that, but yeah, I think you got to sleep. And Rabbeinu, sleep is important. 7-8 hours sleep is mamash, according to the Rambam, it's like halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Yarod val yavor. Okay, and me personally, I have severe sleeping issues. I'm the dore doros of sleeping issues. I know about sleeping issues. Sleep is the most powerful healing tool you have for your body. The human body, whether you think you can do it or whether you even get through the week, you cannot go night after night on 5 hours or 6 hours, even if you do indeed function, but you're doing damage to your body. Okay, the bare minimum, according to today's science, is 6 hours for an adult. But I'm a big Rambamian for the sleep, and 7-8 hours I need, or I just don't function, I get physically sick. And people do get sick. In fact, one of the, in the sleeping examinations and the test experiments that they do, the first thing on all sleeping experiments, you go Google it, first thing is, you get sick. Because the immune system is strengthened almost solely by sleep. When you have less sleep, your immune system is weaker, and every single person, when you do all these sleeping experiments, how long you can stay awake before collapsing, every single time, they get sick, they get some kind of flu, a common cold. Okay. In Maseches Kala, there's a Gemara over there about the benefits of exercising hard and tiring yourself out. Okay, also, Maseches Kala. Running is very important, because running was huge in biblical times. Right, it says in the Megillah, Vayetzu haratzim dchufim b'dvar ha-melech, right? The runners went out. Running was a professional engagement, a professional activity. Not only was it done for exercise, and it was, but runners were needed for a postal service, right? The postal service was done by runners. Running was a very professional activity. Those who were runners, they ran in a certain way. There was some kind of jiggle I came across. They would have run in some kind of jiggle that you knew they were professional runners and they were able to run all day long. They were the mailmen all day running around. I'll give you a good one. Oh, here's a very good one. Here's a very good one. Get this. When they were taking Yaakov Avinu to bury in Maras HaMachpelah, Uncle Esav came onto the scene, right? He said, "What's going on over here? Right? This is my place over here. I deserve to be buried here. What are you doing with Yaakov? You send him somewhere else. Send him on the other side of Hebron, not here, Maras HaMachpelah." So they would do, what do we do? Esav is causing problems. So what did they do? They got Naphtali. Naphtali was the runner. And Naphtali ran back to Mitzrayim to get the deed. To get the deed that Yaakov Avinu has a right to Maras HaMachpelah, because when Esav gave away his birthright, he also gave away the right to bury Maras HaMachpelah. Anyways, in the meantime, came Chushim and knocked Esav's head off, and the head rolled into the cave. And there is today in Hebron a supposed site, the head of Esav. One of the pillar markers is the head of Esav on the outside, you can see it. But that's the story. Runners were very important. And the soldiers, they were runners. And the postman, whatever it might be. Okay. One of the reasons running is not permitted on Shabbos, not just because of Uvda Dechol, and not just because of Refuah, because it's exercise is Refuah, but it's exercise. That's why running on Shabbos is frowned upon. And related to running is dancing, right? According to Shulchan Aruch, you're not supposed to dance on Shabbos. We all do, right? All the Karbach minions, they dance away and they clap away. If anyone's interested in that, in my second book, Amot Shalacha, I have a whole piece on dancing and clapping, Bizman Hazeh, why it's okay. At least, it's become normative. But why did Chazal not want dancing? Listen very closely. Because dancing was a form of exercise. Dancing in the times of Chazal was a very well-trained out professional move. It wasn't dancing in circles like we do today. That's not dancing la halacha, according to history. Dancing was a very professional mode and method of shaking your body and warming up, and that's what they would do at simchas. And that's why dancing, from a textual perspective, from Chazal, is forbidden on Shabbos. But since today's dancing is different, it's about this in Shut, in Shales and Shuvah's Bnei Banim, I think it's Chelek Aleph, he has a long arichus on this, what's clapping, what's dancing, Bizman Hazeh, and why did Chazal Asr, and why today it's okay. So dancing was a form of exercise. Okay, swimming, very important. What did Chazal say? Teach your kid how to swim. Gemara and Kedushin, swimming, exercise. Okay, and
it'll be for safety purposes.
Safety purposes? It's mashma, you're right. It's for life skills. But it's a form of exercise. Chazal wanted you to be able to survive in water. You gotta learn how to swim. Okay, you can debate, how much was it a medical advice or exercise advice. But clearly Chazal were machshav swimming. Because if Chazal weren't Maksha swimming, they would just say, you don't go to the beaches, you don't go to the pools, you don't go to the rivers, there's no swimming. Or again, swimming, Spittle Torah, it's Moshe Leitzim. Okay, but how much boat rides were there in Bavel that would make it into the Gemara, learn how to swim, because he might jump, fall off a boat? So I don't know, it's taken by these professors as being an exercise. You have on your sheet over here the famous Rambam in his guide. It's a paragraph on the side. It's end of it says guide 325. By the way, the Rambam wrote many, many more Sfarim that we're used to. We think of the Rambam, we think Yad HaChazaka, and we think more in Nevuchim. But he wrote many more Sfarim, at least a dozen. Unfortunately, they're not in wide circulation, but they are there, they are available. And one of the things he wrote, although I don't have it here this evening, it's called, I forget the Hebrew word for it, The Regimen of Health. And it talks all about the importance of exercise and health. I want to get into it a bit later, but it's worth noting right now, why is the Rambam so into health and exercise? I brought you an excerpt from the guide, and there's more in the guide as well, the more in Nevuchim. But like I said, he wrote several Sfarim, and there were more than one had to do with the body. Exercise, I think one is diet and health. It's all there. You go to Google, you'll find all the Rambam Sfarim in English and Arabic and Hebrew, right in the original. But the Rambam was very influenced by Aristotle and Plato. Okay? His influence of Aristotle and Plato is noticeable in the Yad HaChazaka, especially in Hilchos Deos. It's even more so in the Mora Nevuchim. And in the other lesser-known Sfarim, he says outright that I am a student of Aristotle and Socrates and Plato and all these. And so it could be that a lot of the modern-day meaning from the 1800s on, of course you have also the Maccabee era, when you had the Greeks controlling Eretz Yisrael, when the body was worshipped, so Chazal might have shied away from exercise at that point. So too, we'll get to it later more, when Zionism came about, the early Zionists, in the 1898, when the Olympics got reinvigorated in Athens, right? That's when Zionism was taking off. So when the Olympics got really its new propel into the modern day, from in Greece, Greek, the body, culture, worship, the body, right, strength, the Zionists copped that. And so Max Nordo, Herzl's assistant, the secretary, every street in Israel, every country, city in Israel has a Max Nordo. Max Nordo was Judaism with muscles. That was his motto, Judaism with muscles. And we'll get to more of that, time permitting, later on. But let's see what the Rambam says in the guide, and I use the guide instead of the other Sfarim, because their Sfarim are lesser known, and this is a bit more mekubal, for lack of better words. Bodily exercise, its different kinds, is necessary for the proper preservation of health, in the opinion of him who understands, being people, it's not God, him, but it's people. Those who know the science of medicine will tell you, not to be a chacham, you know, basic fact, you need exercise. When people take exercise by playing with the ball, wrestling, stretching out the hands, or keeping back the breathing, holding your breath, I guess, with some kind of exercise to strengthen the body, such actions are mere pastimes in the eyes of ignorance. Look what the Rambam's saying. If you're stupid, you think you're just having a good time, wrestling and playing ball and having fun. If you're stupid, you think it's just a good time. But the wise, if you're smart, do not consider them as unimportant. The wise man knows these are fundamentals of life. Okay? And of course, behold, Rachecha Deu, you have to know God in all our ways. We have to know God in everything we do. There's always God. Right? The Baal Shem Tov says, you're chopping wood, that's Avodas Hashem. When you're carrying the water, that's Avodas Hashem. The Rambam's saying, don't be a fool. You have to play ball. You have to wrestle. You have to have exercise. But the difference between a Ben Torah and an Amaretz, the Amaretz thinks he's having fun. The Ben Torah knows he's doing it for a mitzvah. I'm a big exercise buff. I'm a big exercise buff. I try and exercise as much as possible. I used to be very thin and good looking once upon a time, many years ago, in my teenage years, before I got introduced to the world of Kugel and Sudas Mitzvah and Siyum and Kiddushes. I used to be very thin and good looking, and then I gained weight over the years, and my weight's always been a struggle. So lately, what was I getting to? I had an interesting point to get to. Oh, so I was going to say, and I take this very seriously about the difference between the Amaretz and the Ben Torah. And I go biking fanatically. I'm a fanatical biker, at least Fridays and Motzei Shabbos. Before I get on my bike, I sign and say, Hareini mezuman mukhan mezuman l'kai mitzvah asay l'shmarta me'odas nafsho seichem. Because I take this very seriously. When I go biking, I'm not just going to have fun. I do have fun, but I don't do that fun. I do it mamish because I believe that's what God wants me to do. I have to take care of my body. I've got to lose weight, etc., etc. And I think we should all do this when we go and play whatever we play. For exercise, it's worth considering saying Hareini mukhan mezuman l'shmarta me'od. The Nafsho Seichem. That's my opinion, my thoughts. Okay, moving right along. we're going to get to a very interesting comparison and contrasting of what is Bittul Torah and what is Moshe Avleitzim. There's a lot of literature on this. People confuse the two very often, but they're very distinct concepts. Let's see. The first is from Rav Rafael Bloom. And he says in the Sefer, Birchot Shemaim and Orach Chaim Kuf Dalet, all games, even when played on ordinary weekdays, as it is forbidden to go bowling, to ride horses, and sail in small boats, or whatever other amusements the world has invented in its vanity. And Israel must not revel like other nations, as this constitutes Moshav Leitzim. Okay, I don't know who this Rav Rafael Bloom was. I tried to do some research on him. I didn't come up with anything. In fact, HebrewBooks.org doesn't have the Sefer, so I couldn't find it inside. But you see, he's very, very makbid. You're not allowed to do anything but learn Torah. What? In this paper, you hear when I said tonight's presentation is based on two main papers. One is from Dr. Fred Rosner, Exercise in Halacha, and the other one is from a Dr. Aaron Arand. Aaron Arand, who lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh, he wrote a paper, Physical Exercise in Rabbinic Literature. So anyways, that's from Arand. This one and two is from Arand, and I couldn't find it. But he says, very interestingly, it's because of Moshe Avleitzim. He doesn't say it's Bittul Torah, but you go to the next source. You go to the next source. When Rav Shimon Shkop was on a visit to Torah Vadas, and Rav Shimon Shkop says like this, it was recess time, and the boys were playing a game of baseball in the yard. And when he saw this, he was astounded and full of wonder and did not want to believe his eyes, because how could it be that students in the yeshiva who study God's Torah could spend their time in such folly? That's Rav Shimon Shkop at recess, Rabbi Isai, at Torah Vadas.
Wait, he's saying, who's the he?
Rav Shimon Shkop.
So who wrote this?
This is taken from Rav Shimon, I don't know. I have to look it up again. But it is his observation. So who wrote it down, I don't know.
It wasn't him talking about someone else seeing it.
It was him, I guess someone wrote down his observations and his opinions of what he saw when he went to Torah Vadas and he saw recess time, they're playing ball. What's very interesting is between the first excerpt and the second excerpt, one forbids exercise because of Moshe Avleitzim, and one forbids because of Bittul Torah. Very, very interesting. Very important nekuda. Because what's Moshe Avleitzim? Generally, when you're fooling around with no constructive purpose in life, that's Moshe Avleitzim. Bittul Torah is when you're doing engaged in activity that doesn't justify leaving Torah studies. Want to have an example of this? Oh, I got a good one. There's a shtuva with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Listen to this is unbelievable. Someone with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he asked him, they want to make baseball games Friday afternoon. Now Friday afternoon is usually no Seder anywhere, right? After 12 o'clock, right? People go play games. He went there to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and he asked, can he join the Friday baseball game? Rav Shlomo Zalman asked him, exercise is very important. Are you doing exercise during the week? What do you do already? The man says, yes. The questioner said, yes, I'm very into exercise. I jog 3 times a week and I play basketball Thursday nights. So he said, Rav Shlomo Zalman said to him, for you, this is Bittul Torah. And not only is it Bittul Torah, but you're going to say that every Friday, 1 o'clock, you're going to go play baseball. We don't really need to because you already yotzi exercise. The whole day is 3 times a week and you're jogging your basketball, whatever it might be. He says, for you, it's Bittul Torah. And especially it's worse, you're establishing a time every week. But he said, for others who don't do exercise, for them it's a mitzvah. They have to go do their exercise. That's their once a week exercise. They've got to do it, but for you, it's Bittul Torah. So Shlomo Zalman said everyone should judge themselves. What's Bittul Torah? When is it not justifiable to again miss learning for no other reason? And for others, when it is justifiable? You got to speak to your doctor. I think the doctors say 30 minutes, 3 times a week is the exercise quota. So according to Shlomo Zalman, if you met that quota, everything else is Bittul Torah. Very interesting, very wise, very wise. And what I think what Shlomo Zalman is doing also, he's showing us that there's a kedusha, there's a mitzvah component in exercise that does justify missing Seder up to an extent. But after a while, it's no longer exercise. It's overboard. You can eat and eat and eat, but afterwards it's chila gasa. Exercise gasa. Too much exercise is Bittul Torah. Okay. We're going to go to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky for a very, very, very different approach to the value of exercise. Okay? And this excerpt, I think, is from Nassim Kamenetsky before he wrote the controversial books. This is the other, or maybe this was even in the R School biography. Right, this is, Rav Nassim wrote to Rav Yaakov, or he was involved with it somewhere?
He did the research,
that's what it was, okay. Get this, Rabbi Sai, this is a wow. Rabbi Kamenetsky believed that the vacation of Bein HaZmanim should be utilized for the benefit of the pupils. He therefore established the Or Shraga summer camp, in which the first rule was to recognize the fact that this was not the framework to simply continue yeshiva life, right? Many yeshivas today, they have these summer camp getaways for the purpose of continuing the yeshiva cycle, the yeshiva system, in another place. But rather, a framework designed for rest, relaxation, and repose. A person who studies at camp as if he's in yeshiva will one day find he's no longer able to endure the usual study pace. Come Elul Zman, he had no relaxation, and it'll be a mess. He won't be able to properly get into the learning. Get this. Once a well-known rabbi came to visit the camp and wanted to teach a lesson at a time allotted for swimming and physical activity. Rabbi Kamenetsky refused to curtail the recess in order to be able for him to teach the lesson. Unbelievable! Unbelievable! You see the importance of exercise. The Rav Yaakov says, no, learning Torah does not override the exercise Seder. We're here this summer to get a change of pace, of scenery. Litnatek, as they say, lishtof ksat einayim v'oznayim v'arosh. And it's exercise. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. The Chofetz Chaim. Get this. Another wow. Okay? Wow after wow this evening. What does the Chofetz Chaim say? And I forget where. Do not study overmuch. Man must preserve the body so that it is not weakened, so that it does not fall ill. And for that it is crucial to rest and relax, to breathe fresh air. A walk should be taken towards evening, or sit at home and rest. When possible, a swim in the river is good for strengthening the body. Overindulgence in study, learning too much, Rabbi Sai, is the advice of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara tells you to learn more and more at the expense of exercise, of taking care of the body, which counsels working too hard in order to weaken the body, after which the person will be obliged to refrain entirely from Torah, so that in the end his reward is his loss. Unbelievable. The Yetzer Hara tells you to learn more and not go play basketball Thursday nights. Listen to this. This is not a well-known story, but when the Chofetz Chaim was younger, he strained his eyes very, very badly from learning, overlearning, and he was not allowed to learn for 2 years. The doctors told him, the Chofetz Chaim couldn't learn for 2 years, v'kach kaya, he didn't learn for 2 years, and he lamented that his gain, as he writes here in the other context, that his gain was offset by his loss. Okay, for 2 years, imagine the Chofetz Chaim not learning Torah for 2 years. The Rogatchover used to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av like any other day of the week. Why? Pikuach Nefesh. He'd go out of his mind! Rogatchover would go out of his mind if he wasn't able to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. And indeed, that's the reported story. Rogatchover learned Torah on Tisha B'Av like we all learn Torah every day of the week, without distinction of Bar Kamtza and Moed Katan, whatever it might be. He learned everything Keragil, because for him it was the Kasa Fashos. Imagine the Chofetz Chaim, when the doctor tells him he couldn't learn Torah for 2 years. The Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung in Montreal, the great Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung, who was a Talmud from Meir Shapiro, the Chochmei Lublin, he was a Rav Montreal for many years. So the last few years of his life, he got ill, if it was a heart attack or a stroke. But anyways, he had a routine, you know, he was an older fellow, he went to the hospital. And he was coming out of the heart attack or the stroke, whatever it was. And the doctor told him, in front of the family, this is Adis, a lot of Adis around. He said, Rabbi, we're sorry, you know, we think you'll be okay, but you just won't be able to learn Torah, to teach Torah anymore and in public, in your lectures and everything. The doctor told him this in the hospital, Montreal. So from there on, he died, he went out of his mind. Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung was, I don't even know, I can't even speak about such a man. It was like Torah, it was like, you heard the stories from angels from way back when. Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung was Torah 24 hours a day. We speak to him about anything in the world is Torah. You know, you talk to someone about money, you can see the dollar signs in their eyes, ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. So Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung was always Torah, Torah, ka-ching, ka-ching. That was unbelievable. When his doctors told him that was the end of his life. And family's mad to this day. The Piasetzna Rebbe and Nachal Maor, the Eish Kodesh Shul, so he told me, he said in a public once, that towards the end of his life, the Chofetz Chaim got to exercise even more and more seriously. And he was old age, he used to work out. That's why you're working out so much. He said, Mashiach's coming, I got to be able to lift the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. The next excerpt is from the Maharil Grubart. You need some introduction to understand who this was. I don't know if you know Rabbi Yehuda Leib Grubart. I don't know if the name means anything to you. He wrote the Sefer Chavalim Bane'imim. Chavalim Bane'imim is available in Masas Mordechai. The Maharil Grubart is like Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. He's claimed by the Haredim as being Haredi. He's claimed by the Mizrachnikim as being a Mizrachnik. Mamash Kepshuto. Also, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg was very much like that. The Maharil Grubart, he was a Rav of Mizrahi. At the end of his life, he was a Rav in Toronto. And you might have seen the Chavalim Bane'imim quote in the following context. In Hilchos Eiruv, Rav Grubart, in his Chavalim Bane'imim, I believe it's Chelek Dalet, he's a big maker on Eiruvin. And he allows Tzura HaPesach Min HaTzad. Generally, we make the string, the pole, and the string for the Eiruv, the Tzura HaPesach. The string has to be directly on top of the pole. But on the side, it's called Tzura HaPesach Min HaTzad. The Gemara says, Lo Asa V'lo Klum, useless. He has a whole Torah why it's okay in our day and age to have the string on the side of the pole. So if you learn Hilchos Eruvin, he's, whether you agree with him or not, but he's quoted all over the place, this one Tshuva, others as well, but this might be the most famous, where he allows Tzura HaPesach Min HaTzad. Indeed, the Toronto Eruv for generations was Tzura HaPesach Min HaTzad until the Eruv changed in about 1994, 1998, when it became a real Mahajan Eruv. Okay, so what did the Maharil Grubart say? We must raise a strong generation, one which has solid muscles, and adopt the rule of a healthy soul and a healthy body. Somehow a foolish belief has taken hold, which avers that it is a mark of honor to be weak and feeble. This is not true. People think, oh, he sits and learns all day and he can't move, right, and he's weak, and that's a mark of honor because he learned so much. But no, we see the majority of our Chachamim last generation held not like that. It's like people think, you know, in Chumras, you know, the more restricted I am, the more frum I am, right? The more holy I am. The restrictions. People think the more they're restricted, the closer they are to God. But a lot of, you know, modern day rabbis write against this. Not that Chumras is necessarily a bad thing, but Chumras is used today very often for a bad thing in a bad way, in an improper way. Okay, restriction doesn't make you holier. So too, being weak and feeble doesn't make you either. As if this was synonymous with righteous and holy. We must protest this nonsense and make it known that the strong are to be admired for their strength and not the weak for their weakness. Okay, these are he was called the Maharil Grubart. He got a Maharil, he got a Rosh Tevis out of him. We're talking about big people. I think he died in the 40s. Weakness is not a virtue. Those whose body is weak are also weak in spirit. The majority of a base cravings derive from a frail body.
That's a major chiddush.
The whole thing is major chiddush, yeah, unbelievable. Boys must enjoy fresh air as much as possible, to stroll in the fields, to stretch their bones. We were once a mighty nation, right? We were all chayalim in Tanakh. And we must be one again. Let us go from strength to strength. Okay, these are big guns. Big guns. I had a thought I want to share now, but... related to the Maharil Grubart, they say the cleanliness is the key to godliness. Right? The pasuk says, "Erchatz v'nikayon kapai v'sovavam mizbechecha." That's a famous pasuk that is a source for all the Torahs on cleanliness and being clean. Very important to be clean. So too, we see that we must protest this nonsense. Right? A strong body. It's part of godliness. Part of godliness is to strengthen your body, to take care of your body. Again, a lot of the aversion to emphasis on the physical was perhaps mischanneled based on the Greeks. Right? The Greeks were doing all the exercise, so maybe Chazal were a bit nervous to embrace the physical exercise of the time, which was bodily worship. Right? But again, maybe perhaps that was mischanneled, especially in later generations, because right, if Goyim go and start wearing tefillin, we're not going to say it's Goyish, we're not going to wear tefillin, right? You like that one, right? If the Goyim go start doing mitzvahs, we're not going to say, oh, it's not for the Goyim, we can't do it. Right? Unfortunately, the Goyim took our Bible, and they have their old religion based on our Bible, and they do many things that we do. Nevertheless, we still do it. And Chas V'Shalom, the Goyim start putting on tefillin, we're going to put on tefillin also. But there was a scare. The physical body was related to Avodah Zarah. The Greek, right? We're going to get to this in a moment, but why is playing ball and... Oh, we'll get it later on. I have an excerpt on it. I won't get into it now. But again, physical activity and the emphasis on the physicality back then was very much connected to nudity and idolatry. Right? The Greeks used to play in the nude. To show the body. Not only to work on the body, to show the body. And idolatry, the god of this and the god of that and the god of this and the god of this muscle and whatever it might be. Okay, let's move on to Rav Kook. Rav Isai, you're going to get blown away this evening. First, not so much from the first excerpt of Rav Kook, but the second excerpt is going to blow you away. Blow you away. Number six, G'dayla hi tviyasenu agufanit. Great are the needs of our body. Guf bari anu tzrichim. We need a strong, healthy body. Hitasaknu harbe b'nafshus. The Jewish people are spending too much time in spirituality. Shechachnu et kedushas haguf. Forgetting the holiness of the body. Zanachnu et abrius v'agvura agufanit. We've neglected our health, the bodily, physical health. Shechachnu sheyesh lanu basar kodesh. We forget that our body is healthy, is holy as well. Lo pachot mimash yesh lanu ruach hakodesh. Even us as not less holy than our souls. Right, there's so much halach on the physical body. We can't make tattoos. We can't make piercings. The body has to be whole upon death, etc., etc. The body is a very holy thing. There's a story when Hillel, I think it was Hillel, when Hillel was, Hillel left the students, and they asked the students asked Hillel, "Where are you going?" It's in the introduction to my book. No advertising intended, but it's just there. It's very. So they asked Hillel, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to go do a mitzvah." "What mitzvah is that?" Hillel said, "I'm going to go take a shower." They said, "Rebbe, you're going to take a shower? What kind of mitzvah is taking a shower?" They said, "Wait, if the idolaters, are polishing their statues and shining their statues and making sure that their gods are beautiful, how much more so we're the real holy ones? Like, we're the chosen people. Our bodies are given from God. How much more so we got to take care of our bodies and make sure we are clean and healthy?" Okay. So Rav Kook says that this is taken from, I got this to say this now, it's from Rav Kook, that we've neglected our bodies and forget that they're holy. Lo pachot mima sheyesh lanu ruach hakodesh. Azavnu techayim ha-maisim. Okay. Kol tshuvatenu in Rav Kook literature is redemption. All our redemption, the redemption of the nation, the renewal of the nation, talib yadeinu rak im tiyeh, only if there will be im kol hod ruchniusa, with spirituality, gam tshuva, a renewal, gashmit, yotzeret dam bari, healthy blood, basar bari, healthy body, gufim chatuvim veitanim, well-shaped bodies, strong bodies, ruach lohet torech agabe shirim chazakim, a spirit that shines upon big muscles, ubigvuras abasar mekudish ta'ir, ha'eshama shenshalsha, so it has to be a resurrection of our physical bodies. I don't know if you realize what was going on over here. That the bodies is equal to the soul. Renewal and redemption of the nation will only come with the physical. This is huge. Wait till you see the next excerpt of Rav Kook. Again, it's Orot, page 80. If you think I doctored this, you can go look it up yourself. It's there, Orot, page 80. Get this. He hahitam lut. Exercise, gymnastics. Shetzire Yisrael oskim ba Eretz Yisrael. That the youth are starting Eretz Yisrael. What were they doing in Eretz Yisrael? What gymnastics and exercise are Kook talking about? He's talking about three things. One is the Maccabi. The Maccabi Games, right? We all go up in North America, right? The non-religious, the JCCs. I'll have Maccabi Games, right? Maccabi was the Zionist youth movement's exercise division. Okay, it was a secular movement to emphasize, like the Greeks, emphasis on the body over the soul. Then you had Hapoel. Hapoel was, in 1926, was the exercise movement of the Histadrut, the workers' movement. The workers' movement had an exercise division, an exercise club. And finally, and Rav Kook is probably talking about these former two, there was also Elitzur. Elitzur was a religious answer to Maccabi. It didn't survive too long, but it was the emphasis of the physical, the body, along with the spiritual. It was the hesder of exercise, so to speak, learning with exercise. Okay? Lechazek et gufam bishvil liyot banim amitzei koach l'uma. The nation needs strong people. He meshachlelet et hakoach ruchanim shel tzadikim. You've got to take the spirituality we get from our tzadikim. Right, ha'oskim b'yichidudim shel shemos hakdoshim laharbos hablata sahor eloki ba'olam. Of course, you need the spiritual that makes a light into the world, brings godliness into the world. But the ein gilui or echad omer b'lo chavero. You cannot just have spiritual development, you need physical as well. Aval shitzchaku anarim lechazek kocham v'rucham. They should go play the truth to the youth and strengthen their bodies and their souls. Bishvil gvuras ha'uma bichlala. It's part of the strength of our nation to have strong people. Listen to this. It's getting amazing now. This is the wow of the century. Avoidas ha'koidesh hazos. This holy endeavor. A physical exercise. Malis ha'shchina maila mala. Raises God's presence. Kealisa, listen to this. It's not a printer's error. Exercise raises the Shechina. It's holy exercise. Avodas Kodesh. Kealisa yidei shirois and tishbuchoi shamar David HaMelech v'sefer Tehillim. It's just as much as saying Tehillim. Exercise is just as important as recitation of Tehillim. Elosh ha'yidei kavanos el yonos ola neshama pnimis. By the spelling error there. But you need the physical in order to allow the elevation of the spiritual. The shneim keechad mishchalalim et sidrei hakdushos kulam. Bablatas afia shel uma beparsha haktana shekol gufei Torah tluyim ba bechol tracheha dehu. You have to know God in all your ways. This, more than anything else, was what aroused the wrath of the Haredi establishment in Eretz Yisrael against Rav Kook. The Zionism people lived with, they accepted. Rav Kook was the Zionist thorn in the Gadol world. But it was this piece, more than any other, that aroused the wrath and gave the ammunition, so much so that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, his son, went through the manuscript before Orot was published. He told his father, take it out. You're gonna bombard you. It's gonna be finished. He says no. The nation has to know this, and he published it, and he got, you know what, for it over the head. And Pashkevilim he got from Absonenfeld and the other Gedolim of the time. I saw the Nusachos vehement, venomous against Rav Kook. They called him all kinds of names. It's in Rav Sonnenfeld's name. I don't know what. I don't believe he called him the names. I believe he's against this approach. But the Pashkevilim were venomous. Because you have Rav Kook saying that exercise is as good as saying Tehillim. It's previously unheard of. You know, the Hasidim, you know, whenever you have a Hasidish Zach, that seems a bit, you know, off with Halach a little bit, you know, and you ask a Hasid, why are you doing this? Our Rishonim didn't do it, and it's not in Tanakh, it's not in Gemara, why are you doing it for? Because it only became time for the Baal Shem Tov to reveal it, right? It was always there, it had to be revealed. And the Baal Shem Tov and all the tzaddikim decided had to be revealed 250 years ago. So the same idea, maybe Rav Kook, he was big Makubal, he felt this had to be revealed. But it was previously unheard of and it got him into a lot of trouble. This piece, more than any other piece in Arot, without exaggeration. The next piece is very interesting, Rabbi Yeshaya Shapira. Now Avram is a mistake, his name was not Avram Yeshaya Shapira, I got confused with the Chazon Ish, who was Avram Yeshaya, correct? But what's interesting is that both the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Yeshaya Shapira are named after the Shlach Kodesh. Who was Rabbi Yeshaya Shapira? He was called the Admor HaChalutz. Chalutz, the pioneers. He was the Rebbe, he was the Admor of the secular pioneers. He was the grandfather of the Rebbe Anachal Maor, the Ish Kodesh Rebbe. Okay? Which means that the Rabbi Yeshaya Shapira was a brother of the Eish Kodesh, the Chovos HaTalmidim. It was his brother. And the brother left Europe before, you know, the flames went up. And he went to Eretz Yisrael and he became the Admor of the pioneers. So he took on Rav Kook's view very strongly. And he says like this, it is important that in tandem with the spiritual strengthening of the youth, their body be strengthened by exercise to enable them to fulfill the national missions assigned to the youth of this time. That's always referring to security of the state, pre-state. Rav Shapira died before the state, but secular, religious, everyone, they were arming themselves. Every kibbutz, every yeshuv, whether it was religious or not, had 24-hour security. They were all soldiers. Nonetheless, it is important that this be undertaken in a religious framework so that the youth understand that physical culture is not worship of the body, but rather preparation of a healthy body for the healthy and whole soul of the young Jew. Again, exercise is as important to development for the development of a Jew, of a Ben Torah, just like the Ruchnius. Okay, so that is the Admor HaChalutz, who became the spiritual father of the Mizrahi, modern-day Mizrahi movement. Many books on him, on Rabbi Yeshaya Shapira. Okay, and we have over here, again, from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. So, like this, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky himself was scrupulous about the partaking of regular physical exercise. In his youth, he was known as the best swimmer in the yeshiva of Lomza. His sentiment was, if a father must teach his child how to swim, then that man must himself know how to swim. And if so, then he must know how to swim well. He was once asked if it was appropriate for a yeshiva boy to ride a bike. His reply, I wish I had a bike in my youth, and I wouldn't have to walk so much now for my health. Right? You cannot let this schara go out of the hefsid. Rabbi Amram Korah, the last rabbi of the Jews of Yemen, was wont to walk with young scholars in his youth to the hills near Sa'ana and to run down them quickly to exercise their bodies. Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook used to relate that when his father, Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, was in Riga and lived in an apartment with Rabbi Yosef Yuzel Horowitz and Rabbi Aaron Walkin, they would wrestle for their health. Imagine Rabbi Cook in his shorts wrestling with other rabbis for his health. One rabbi who admitted to engaging in exercise with Rabbi Shlomo Gorin related in an interview to a Tzofin newspaper that he does 50 sit-ups a day. Okay, Rav Gorin, of course, is a very controversial fellow, but he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, like you don't see in army fatigues, a Talmud Chacham of that stature. And even some of his greatest opponents will confess Rav Gorin was much more than what he looked in Chachma, his knowledge of Torah. So anyway, so he would do 50 sit-ups a day. Plenty more we can... I could have posted, but we'll say Ad Khan. It's perfect timing, actually. It's about 10 o'clock. But I hope to summarize in conclusion, we see that A, unquestioned, no question, there's a very serious importance to physical health, to exercise, to weight loss, to keeping ourselves healthy. There's some dispute how much is to be emphasized. But most of the Achronim, the later sages, at least from my research, are all for, as we saw with minor exception, important exercise regimens in our daily life. In our regular routine, we have to have exercise. It's part of being a Ben Torah. Like this, I'll give you a wonder with this word. Very often, Bnei Torah, all of us, have problems ascribing spiritual accountability to non-ritualistic endeavors. Right? When we have ritual, you have to get a leaf like this, and a lemon like this, and another branch like this, another branch. It's so ritualistic, and you gotta wash your hands 3 times this way, on this hand, has to go to there. Yeah, we have rules and rituals, right? We can relate to that, and we feel more attached to the divine, to God, when we fulfill mitzvos that are very much have definitions and parameters and boundaries. Ritualistic. When things aren't ritualistic, Ben Adam Chavero, and especially here, there's no measurement. There's no Reb Chaim Noah and the Chazon Ish on how much exercise they have. So the problem, because it's so non-ritualistic, we lose a feeling for the importance of the physical body. But let us remember, v'nishmartem yod nafshos seichem, it's a mitzvah deiraisa, we should make it part of our lives. Shkoyach. I have some books available if anyone wants to buy the books, 80 shekels.